All right, we're meeting together the 6th of April, and we're studying in the sealed book of, the Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 13, verse 16. And Harm's going to lead our discussion.
Hello, welcome everybody. So, there we go. Did you remember the birds this week? I had a few bird moments this week, especially with the chickens. They're not so. At first sight, first ear, they're not so interesting, but when you listen better, they're quite interesting. And with timing too, especially the, how do you say, the big one, the crow,
Oh,
the rooster. Yeah.
yeah.
Very interesting, very urgent. Also in the Bible, of course, with Peter. Some, but they not necessarily fly. Look at the they're not always flying, the birds. They're still there. They're strange birds. You know the shoe bird? I'm sorry. I'm getting off track now. But it's so beautiful, all the different birds. Okay. I will start with the first verse, verse 16. However, the father will do nothing for his children on earth, for how much is there is a possibility of them doing something for themselves. Remember, therefore, these words of mine, which again come to you through this record, to observe carefully the birds of the heaven, for they do not reap nor store in barns. But the Father who is in heaven feeds them day after day.
I have a comment on that that popped in my mind. Avram Gilead often in his commentary, there's a part where he talks about that animals are guided by the spirit, guided to food and a flock of birds. It was his opinion that they're guided by, I didn't know if he meant the light of Christ or actually the Holy Ghost, but that they're connected to the cosmos in that way, and I'll pass.
Yeah, we go on a walk in the mornings, and I'm amazed. The birds, are there on the ground. I don't know what they're pecking at, but they're finding something. But what just amazes me is that there is something for them. For all the birds, that there is actually something there that they continue to live and grow. And like the verse says, the Father feeds them day after day. Yes, he does, because I sure don't know how it gets done.
There's a Dutch saying, zelfs een blinde kip vindt wel eens een graankorrel. So even a blind hen does find sometimes a grain of corn. But you have to pick, I guess. You have to keep on picking. Okay.
I found the verse that this is referencing in Matthew chapter 6,
Go ahead.
verse 26. Matthew 6, verse 26. Well, I guess we could say 25 and 26. He's talking to his apostles. The Savior is. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?"
You know, it reminds me of going out on a mission without purse or script, like we're actually commanded to, or coming up and giving a talk without preparation and just letting the spirit flow, where you're relying on, you're not, you, I guess you must have done some preparation, but you're kind of relying on the Lord completely to fill your mind that you say His will. But I mean, that's kind of where, when I read this parable, that's kind of the human application to me, that we're not relying on heaven enough. I'll pass.
Interesting. Here the allegiance to our Lord for that we're to total. We need the total commitment because we're total dependent. I think it's very, very interesting because we tend to, as a people, and with our rationality, we have all these insurance companies. And sometimes it's even institutionalized, put in law, as we have more here in the Netherlands, I suppose, with Social Security and these traditions. But it's interesting that we would rely on the honesty of our tithing, for example. That we would be that we could we, that we can make covenants, and that every covenant has a certain blessing surrounding that, and that we would have to learn to totally depend on our Father, and we think we're not, I suppose, through all the way we can organize ourselves, and which is also necessary, as it says in Doctrine and Covenants, organize everything, build a house, organize a house of fasting, of learning. Okay, let's go to the next verse.
Before we do, I just wanted to make a comment about the first couple lines of verse 16, and then ask a question. It says that the Father will do nothing for his children on earth for how much there is a possibility of them doing something for themselves. I've heard that phrased a different way in other places, and I can't remember if it's in the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith or if it's somewhere in the Doctrine and Covenants. Has anyone else heard that? That the father can do nothing, will do nothing for his children so much that they can do something for themselves.
Well, I know of the Doctrine and Covenants where it says it is not good that I should command you in everything, that we should do lots of goods from ourselves, and also that there is not all evil is not written down. So we always have to be aware of the new situations at hand. But I think that that's in the Doctrine and Covenants that but that's more in a broader sense maybe than this, that even there is one possibility that we do it. I had a feeling about this verse this week when I forgot that I had an appointment, and then I just 2 hours before the appointment I encountered the person on the street, and I would have been very humiliated if I would have forgotten, because I already postponed the meeting. And I really felt like when I read the same day I read this one again, that I did all things possible. But I was like, there was too much going on, and then I was like, both of us were blessed. Both of the I was blessed with that I could save on it's our anniversary with Bauke, and then some and she would understand, but also that our relationship would be still be intact, because I'm always talking about the gospel, and then I could use this as a serendipity moment and mercy thing, because I did all that I could do, and I did pray for his spirit and angels surrounding us. But we, and then again, we always rely on the grace, but we have to do all we can do. I think that's very essential that he wants us to be become free agency priesthood holders. Okay.
One comment I would like to make is that in Matthew, or here it talks about the birds of heaven, and in Matthew it talked about the fowls. What did you say, Michael? The fowls?
Yeah, the fowls of the air.
Yeah. And then in Luke, it specifically said, look at the ravens. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. Nevertheless, God feedeth them. Oh, and here's the, are you not better than the fowls? But it's interesting that it says ravens.
Ravens, yeah. Interesting.
It's in Luke, it's in the inspired version I read it from.
Luke, what chapter?
Luke chapter 1, no, chapter 12, and then verse 26. Consider the ravens. And they
Oh,
are really
interesting.
smart. They are really smart birds, by the way. I know someone who has who gives cookies to his dog at a certain point when he's walking the dog, and when he goes out from his house, and he also takes some for the birds, and the birds know that, and these are ravens, and so they the ravens wait for him to come out of the house, and they follow them, and then when he throws the cookies, then the ravens come, and they so that's now a whole ritual. Yeah,
Yeah.
but they're really smart, and they put it in their beaks, and they store it somewhere. So
They
they
look at
do store,
and they
probably, because they eat so much.
look ahead.
Yeah.
Dolores, would you please read verse 17 for us? Or Russell, you want to say something before?
Yeah. I was just going to say that it's interesting that do nothing. I searched for that and found the one place in John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, those also doeth the Son likewise. So an interesting difference on the do nothing.
Yeah, thanks for adding.
No.
Yes, please.
On the other hand, if you look closely at the birds of the heaven, as you are required in this parable, you will see that though they do not reap nor store in barns their grains, they have to leave of their nest every day, looking for food in order to get them by their own efforts. In this, therefore, is manifested the divine wisdom of which I have spoken, in which birds, as well as the children of men, obtain the promise that the Father will nourish them. For he will never let anything be lacking for his sons, for how much they believe in themselves.
Thank you. Do you want to comment on that too, Dolores?
Well, yes, when I first read this book, I or this verse, I've looked back at my life. I'm pretty old. I'm 84, 85 this year, and he's always taken care of me. There's never been any time when I'm lacking in anything, and I'm just so grateful for that because I can sure be dumb. I do such foolish things, and I even what is it? Has not hesitate, but diminish. I just think about going in the judgment, and I just think, oh. There's so many things that I could have done better. And that's all. But he's always taking care of me.
Yes, I have the same thing. I always felt like that the green pastures and the clear waters, and I think in a way, if you learn to appreciate the forgiveness of God and in our personal experiences, we open our hearts for others to in to be forgiving, I guess. But it always has the horn of plenty is always has and had an emotional effect on me, the fullness, the fat of the land, the mercy that you can't earn it, like all the people on the vacation. I've worked hard to go on the vacation, you know, and yeah. Did you
Boy,
earn it?
isn't it cool that that we can come back? I mean, think about how many more mortal mortalities could we have? I mean, if the millennium's 1,000 years, anyway, we don't get it right this time, but we can get better next time. Anyway, I think that's the coolest thing about the gospel is they're going to always let you keep trying to pass the ACT test or the celestial test. Just keep learning and keep trying. And I think that's neat, you know?
It is. It's very hopeful. We should always strive to get out of the things we are bound by. But it's so good to have the knowledge that it's not never ending. It's an eternal learning process for all of us. Only get to the urgency and the heart of the matter. For me, it seems logical doing the final part of the fullness to get this message across. Over the faith and the belief, for how much they believe in themselves. Yeah. Also with the missionary verse, yeah, it's so much about faith all the time. And he did take care of us all the time. I can testify.
Yes, and that last sentence is, yeah, I've thought about that, and for how much they believe in themselves, and it reminds me of Moses 3 verse 70, where it says, "And what is faith? Behold, faith is the sum of all feelings of trust that are in your hearts, which nullify the feelings of fear and doubt as to my performance among those who are my elect." And it's interesting because this verse is quoted quite a couple of times also in lessons. And a couple of times it is translated in different ways. Here is its feelings of trust, but it also has been feelings of trustworthiness. It has also been translated like that. And another translation, which I do not remember at the moment, but there are like three or maybe four translations of this verse, which all have to do, I think, with self-confidence. And where does your self-confidence come from? From your faith in action, I think.
Yeah, efforts, their own efforts. That's the divine wisdom. I think it's in effort that we
Yeah.
should do know for ourselves, not depend on the light of an what they always said in the LDS, in the latter day, you cannot depend on another man's light. So we have to get our own witness account of what we did, to reflect on us through the Spirit, to grow in confidence and and magnify our callings.
Yes, your own testimony.
Yeah,
Yeah.
the sonship, the power we talked about the other day, class. So it's another sort of power from within that you have to have experience. Like when they stopped crying out, ceased to cry and opened their hearts. So instead of blaming the other, from you're such a such a difficult person that you would think, yeah, I could be praying for this person in my heart instead of yeah, raising your voice or well, you know, you all know. Okay.
Carl,
Yes, please.
at one time I wrote out beside this verse where it's talking about finding food in order to, on their own efforts. I put that there's no coincidences. There can be amazing things happen where you think, how is this going to come about? And it does. And you think, oh wow, that's amazing. But you can forget that it was the intervention of Heavenly Father that had that happen. So there's really no coincidences. We've got to remember to be thankful when those things happen. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that's so true. The action and the prompting, it is interconnected. And as fast as we can see the everything is, that is good comes from the Lord, and His Spirit is the same light, as it says in Doctrine and Covenants, that our lights are our eyes and makes it possible to discern. If we can acknowledge the good thing coming, and if you're gonna help somebody, then you can acknowledge that it might be a good thing, but then again, how would you help somebody the best way? And somebody, sometimes that could be to write instead of make a call or make a visit instead of a prayer. All these varieties. Thank you for pointing that out, Dolores.
In the middle of the verse, it talks about even though they don't store in barns, they still leave their nests every day, right? There's still action on their part. And I think that's like what the verse that you quoted, Harm, about anxiously being anxiously engaged, right? We shouldn't be commanded in all things. We should be doing things of our own free will and choice, to help bring to pass much good.
Yes. That's the whole thing, that we would come out of the off the couch and be actors instead of only speakers. So action speaks louder than words. And then you want to go the right actions. So everything is an the partaking of the sacrament is an act that we should make as holy as possible within everybody's possibilities, and that also with our actually everything we do, probably even to the cutting of your fish, or the washing of your car, or the mowing of the lawn. It's all a matter of feeling surrounding it, I think. So let's go to the Michael. Would you do 18, please?
Yes. This then is an act of faith and serves all matters under heaven because faith precedes action, being dead in itself if it does not produce some attitude. This is the foundation of the wisdom and the lofty sentiments that move the people of the covenant to excellent works, because it has this promise of my own voice that the Father will be with his people to protect and to assist them, when then there is nothing else you can do for yourself. Amen.
Amen.
So it's saying that the foundation of the lofty sentiments that we're supposed to hold in our hearts comes from this act of faith, because faith precedes the action.
Yes. So that's the movement. I think it's all about, I was studying the other day about the be still and know that I'm God. That's Psalm 40, and then 80 is the mouth, is the speaking, is kind of a next level. So it's the movement in that we could move on, like not a chain reaction of bad feelings, or that you would go to the bottle, like what they say with alcohol, and you can't get out of it. That we would rise the victory above that, above through our faith and the example we have around us, to get some attitude, some faith that in the first place of getting up. For depressed people, this is a reality every day, to get up and be positive, that it's worth it. We have all these rates now of, and even in my personal life, all the euthanasia, how do you say it? People killing themselves with help from the organizations, that they are having suffering that is in an amount that would be better to die. And then you could plan your own funeral, and it is interesting how much pain and how much joy people can handle to get to the right attitude, because you have to do something. You're gonna send a card to that person, or a message, or a visit. And so we have to have, for example, with the faith it precedes action. I've learned through music that if you give the right example that you want to play, works much, much better than saying,
Went
you
quiet
should know
also.
your part. Oh, sorry, something
Yeah.
is happening.
Okay, he's back.
My phone was ringing.
So, other thoughts on this verse?
Well, it repeats again at the end there that the Father will help when there's nothing else we can do for ourselves.
Sorry, I don't hear you, Russell.
Oh.
I can hear you.
Oh,
Oh, we did something.
wait, I think I have to log off and then come back again because this happened before. If somebody calls me, then
Oh.
something
Sound.
changed. So
Okay.
we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Okay. All
Sorry.
right.
While we're waiting, Dewey mentioned something earlier about the animals being guided by the spirit. And it made me think of something in the Namenha teachings. In their records, they speak of the Holy Ghost people, and how the all of nature, everything that surrounds us, the trees, the flowers, the animals, plants, that they are all made up of this special group of this special class of spirits, the Holy Ghost people. And so it would make sense that they were led by the spirit, because they are the spirit, if that makes sense.
The let's see which book. Think it's in Melchizedek, the Book of Melchizedek, where it talks about the Urkadishwai and how Shem organized them to Anyway, the Urgadishoy are exactly what you were talking about. The rocks, the hills, the vegetables, the animals, they're all there. Not the animals, but the other things. They have a spirit, which the Nemaha call the Holy Ghost people.
Yeah, that they referred to them as the Holy Ghost people. So
Yeah.
anyway, it
Interesting.
looks like Belkin and Harm are back.
Good.
Hello. Interesting
Can hear
talk.
you. Right.
Great. We can hear you also.
Great.
So this, the hills are alive with the sound of music. Yeah, and it helps. Probably you read all the maybe the Book of Enoch about the flowery trees, the fragrant the fragrant trees. It's very interesting. It re really feels like Revelations with the chandeliers and the seven arms and the it's already very well connected, and we learn to appreciate these things much more. For me, the different birds and the different trees. Also, one more thing, and then we go with the Nemanja. It's about the trees that he wants to work with wood. That it's so interesting for us as the Dutch. We have the Golden Age, 17th century. The big ships, they made them of oak wood. Then there were no more oak trees. So you go to another phase, but the working with wood has, and also that, yeah, that it's so like in stages with the different months. So we have the making of the bread and the vineyard and now the oil. It's all one. Everything points to Jesus. He's in the middle of all this. So, what an excellent work to produce this attitude and make it so abstract that we think about why we do this and what would be the best thing, what we need faith, and being dead in itself. Also, very interesting this. So we may have to make it alive. Let's go to the next verse. Dewey, would you please read verse 19?
Just as it has been said to my disciples, I tell this generation about which I prophesy at this moment that the mysteries of God are given to those words of mine. For this is the words of this book reveals that the essence of the gifts from my Father are pure feelings that are lodged in your hearts. And it really does come down to getting the right feelings in our hearts all the time. I can feel the spirit of that. That really is, I suppose, the greatest teaching that I picked up off the sealed book is it's all about our feelings now. I mean, it used to be all about our actions. Now it's all about our feelings.
Yes, because faith precedes action. It's before the action, and this is the higher law probably of the feelings. That if you want to control your feelings, you have to zoom into your feelings. And if you have bad feelings, you're gonna have bad actions, even in small things. That we would appreciate them in all things, that it would be that we were asked to be what is the dispersed in the scriptures, that we would have a feel it all around us like water, and then maybe then you come to know that we're all this has all been a lesser law we have been taught in the first place. And it's very interesting you talk about the feelings before, because I'm thinking about the Hebrew, the three parts of that. You first have the first nine letters, the fundament, and then you have the letters which all have a number in the 10, like 10 and 20 are both about hands, and it's all about acting these words. And then the highest, the 100 to 400 is the spiritual side. So we are all learning the whole thing. We're learning in a new way the whole thing about the fundament, the acting, and what's before the acting. And it's so interesting that this is at the heart or the core of the whole message. And I love that do we when you I said that, because I remember the first time I read the book, and I was like, this is not possible. It's all about feeling. And I've used to sing a song which is called "Listen at Our Prayer" of by and there's a sentence there: "Good feelings are really right." It's so much about feeling that I even doubted in the first time I read. But that's the thing. We are what we carry in ourselves. Okay. You want to read the inspired version? Matthew,
Sure.
Michael, maybe? Or
I've
Russell?
got it. Russell, do you have it too?
Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Okay, this is in the Inspired Version for chapter 13 in Matthew 8 through 16. Then the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever receiveth, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever continueth not to receive, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah concerning them, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And blessed are you because these things are come unto you that you might understand them. And verily I say unto you, many righteous prophets have desired to see these days which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear that which you hear, and have not heard." End.
Wow, thank you so much. Two times the understand with your heart that you might understand. It's so good. This is so good. Thank you. This is the whole thing what he's talking about in a few verses from here. When he says, in verse 5 in chapter 14, behold the olive tree. Now,
You mean chapter 14, verse 2?
yeah, sorry,
Happy therefore are your eyes,
yeah,
for they will watch, and
and
your
your
ears, for
ears.
will they will hear the reading of these words of mine, and unravel this great mystery. Because the words that Jesus talks about in verse 19 are part of the mystery, because the parables are mysteries, and only the elect
We put in the effort.
will understand them and have more abundance. Wow, what great,
Yeah,
great
because
promise.
only those who seek diligently for the mysteries of the heart So he has to. This is why he loves it so much too. Of course, the whole part of the plan of the final part of the fullness is that those who are diligently within all the onkruid, or
Weeds.
the weeds and the tares, and the sower with the seed between different parts, that it would now finally, those who seek diligently, that they would, and they will know it, humble, to be revealed by my humble followers, verse 2. And only, and this is the hidden secret that is before the action. And you can see the action, but you cannot see the tender feelings, which is also all in his hand. And wow. Thank you for making it even more clear, and my soul comforted in plainness, that it's about understanding that gives it peace. And you, if you don't know what you're doing, you're just copying, like with all the in music, you have a lot of things going on with copying. If you have a great like a sport, almost sport, that you have the capacity to sound like the real thing, but you don't know what words you're saying, and that's the feeling surrounding that you'll be pure before God. Only those who seek diligently.
Can I read a verse in Alma that I think we've
Please.
read this before in previous lessons, but this is Alma chapter 12, verses 9 through 11, speaking of the mysteries of God. And it uses that phrase like three times. And now Alma began to expound these things unto him, saying, "It is given unto many to know the mysteries of God. Nevertheless, they are laid under a strict command that they shall not impart, only according to the portion of his word which he doth grant unto the children of men, according to the heed and diligence which they give unto him. Therefore, he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word. And he that will not harden his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until he knoweth them in full. And they that will harden their hearts, to them is given the lesser portion of the word until they know nothing concerning his mysteries. And then they are taken captive by the devil and led by his will down to destruction. Now, this is what is meant by the chains of hell."
I love it when that is not static. It's not something you can control. You're all in, or you're all out, and it will influence you both ways. So only to make the decision more, eager to make the right decision. The best decision, not the only right wrong, but the best. It's so good. Yeah, go ahead.
The very first sentence of the next verse shows that it's our agency. Therefore, guard your hearts from the evil feelings. So now it's up to us to choose which feelings. You're expressing the same thing, I think.
Yes, all along the watchtower, it's responsibility. I'm responsible. I'm thinking about Governor Giuliani with the 9/11. I've got a sign on my desk that says I'm responsible. And I think its agency is one of the key things to get people interested too. From who's the master and the slave here? If you ask questions, people from who's in there? Is there anybody out there? And then who's saying what? So, thank you for pointing that out. Because we have to be on our in confidence that we have the discernment being given now in these sacred words, to being able to make the decision and the action, and the feeling surrounding the action. So, Brother Russell, would you Read the last verse, please,
Yeah.
of this beautiful chapter.
Therefore, guard your hearts from the evil feelings which proceed from the devil, which suddenly are played like poison darts of all sorts of lasciviousness, anger, and which penetrate your hearts and inflame even the saints of God with the evil feelings coming from him, the evil being, with the purpose of obstructing the work of the Father in bringing salvation to the sons on earth.
Suddenly, like darts.
First Nephi 15:24 says, speaking, this is Nephi speaking to his brethren. I said unto them that was the word of God, speaking of the iron rod, and whosoever would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish, neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness to lead them away to destruction. So fiery darts and poison darts, I'm assuming they're similar words in the original language.
Yes.
And then Helaman 5, verse 12. And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of the Redeemer, who is in Christ, the Son of God, that you must build your foundation. That when the devil sends forth his mighty winds, yes, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which you are built, which is a sure foundation whereon, if men build, they cannot fall. So it's interesting, like if you have arrows in a whirl, if you combine it with the whirlwinds, that's even more dangerous because you never know where it comes from, you know? So that's it
Yeah.
works together, and we have to be protect ourselves against those winds and darts and hail and mighty storms, because
Yeah,
it's, yeah.
and put on the full armor of God.
But it's not always easy, you know,
No,
to
no, and sometimes
takes practice.
you have little holes in the armor, or and yeah, things you have blind spots. And that's why we need each other also to watch our backs and our sides and to keep us humble also, and that we need the and it's actually the next chapter that we need the grafting and the whole garden thing he puts in order. I love actually the maybe we could only do one more verse, Russell, of the next chapter.
Well, I think we leave the next chapter for next week.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But it's so great that
But we can read it.
yeah, just to, because he's like making a point, going to the symbolism and the you know that you can read all this and you not be there and.
All right.
So I quickly read it.
Sure.
Taking the book of Jacob into his hand, Jesus proceeded to say, "This is why the scriptures of the ancient prophets speak by means of illustrations, so that seeing no one notices, no one does pay attention to this message, his message. For it is necessary that a simple truth related to your feelings remain as a sacred secret from generation to generation. So that only in the final part of the fullness of times this may come in its purity and perfection without ever having been distorted under the precepts of man." So it all leads up to this, just to keep you interested this week in studying this. This is so great because this is the whole thing he works up to, this parable of Zenus with the grafting. Really love the garden work. Thank you all.
Okay. Thank you very much, Harm. And
Thank you.
we'll end our recording at this point, having completed Acts of 3 Nephites, chapter 13.